walk worthily of the calling wherewith you were called out. Now, that makes an interesting little distinction that I've tried to lay on you several times. There's a difference between ethics and righteousness. That's what the church has never figured out. You can walk worthily of a calling. And that behavior be honorable and good and deserving of merit and deserving of recognition. You can even do some of that with some human effort. Just as you can partake of the communion with human effort. You can partake worthily. You don't even really need God's Spirit to enable you to know the difference between understanding and discerning what was accomplished by Christ and putting your attention and your focus on those elements and letting your mind wander while you partake of the communion because you've done it so often, the same way you drive an automobile with your mind somewhere else. That didn't take Spirit of God. That's just mental discipline. There's just an awful lot of Christian behavior that ought to be done that does not rise to the level of righteousness. Now, when you rob some people of being able to boast in their righteousness, by cracky, they ain't going to do any worthily behavior. I mean, you can love your wife and come home 100 times, never bring any flowers. I refuse to believe one of two things. I refuse to believe that the delivery of flowers is proof of love. And I refuse to believe that delivering flowers is not a proof of love. Because it can be either. Furthermore, I believe that you can love and not deliver flowers. But flowers are a nice gesture. It's a worthily manner of expressing the love that's there. But some of you women are going to go to bed with the wrong man if you think flowers are proof of love. Get all this out of my system before I get into Ephesians 5. You need to understand that the finest ethics can come from a proper understanding of God's standards. I refuse to believe that any ethical system derived from any philosophic frame is going to be a better ethical system than a human effort at 1 Corinthians 13. My quarrel with the church world is when you make worthily behavior the criteria of worthiness. We're made worthy by the blood of the Lamb. We can walk worthily. We're made worthy by the blood of the Lamb. We can partake of the elements of communion worthily. One has to do with the manner of partaking. The other has to do with existential standing before God. Likewise, in this case, we have a reflection that, like the flowers, can be a simple, cheap imitation to try to cover up a corrupt heart. More than one man has showed up with flowers after he's been all night philandering. And a lot of Christians understand these behaviors and imitate them without doing it for the right reason. But once you comprehend that out of all mankind, God has called some and not called others, and will choose from the called some and not choose others, then a heart response, even though you know our righteousness is as filthy rags, because of your own vertical response to God, will want to walk worthily of the calling wherein we were called out. That's why Peter, talking to persecuted saints, said, your experiences, to take another analogy from another passage, that the rain's falling on the just and the unjust alike, and on top of that, you're getting persecution as Christians. Well, in the midst of it, there can be a tone on your life different than others that comes from your own realization. This is that which the mind and the heart and the understanding of God's calling can add to the dimension of the Spirit. You can recognize you're an alien in a strange land, but you have a heavenly citizenship. You're children of a heavenly Father. And you're pilgrims on a journey where the joys of the destination so outweigh the sufferings of the trip, that that knowledge should put a tone on your life that makes you act like you are pilgrims in a strange land, citizens of a heavenly Father, children of a heavenly Father, and citizens of a heavenly King or heavenly kingdom. As I move into these behavioral aspects of Ephesians, I want a distinction drawn between that that comes from a heart response cultivated by an understanding, as Paul was awed by the fact that and was joyous that he could be a prisoner of the Lord to take this wonderful message to every ethnic group, as we are doing around the world, and recognizing fully that only God's nature can reproduce itself and only God's righteousness can be itself, we still can have a tone on our life of awe and reverence and joy. And to those of you that have heard the message, I really think I'm having to use, or am using, more words than you need to feel in your own spirit what I'm trying to define. That even short of the reproduction of His nature in us, even short of the spirituality that is His expressions in us, even short of His righteousness that comes from His life and the mind of Christ that comes from Christ being in us, just the human vessel possessed by sin, flesh, and the devil, with death our destiny, to have the realization that must have come to you that we have been called to such a destiny should create an urge to walk in a manner becoming to that. If you want me to continue, get on the phone. Now, you don't have to take any more calls. Let me try to summarize what I've been teaching tonight, which is really a bridge into the passages that began at the close of this fourth chapter and into the beginning of the fifth chapter. before wrapping up in the sixth chapter with the wrestling against principalities and powers, which is our lot as Christians. Paul has tried to get us to understand that God made a choice for himself, for his good pleasure, and for his purposes. I mean, someone asked a question, and I was spinning through the messages, how do we know what our purpose is? Well, if you don't know yet, stay with me. That's what your purpose is right now. As the middle of the fourth chapter points out, that's why God gave domitas. Some of you are just too anxious. Elisha was nothing but a servant of Elijah for 11 years before he even figured out why God called him. And he could have missed it then if he hadn't stuck with Elijah right to the end. We got too much quick fix Christianity running loose. Too much, what do I do to get it done with so I don't have to be bothered with it anymore, so I can get on with my life and the insurance policy intact and not have to worry about it? You got to worry about it till you get home. You got to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, and the Greek words are trauma and phobias. My job is to make you nervous. If I'm succeeding, wonderful. Too much of this complacent flashcard Christianity. Flash Christianity too, but in the second chapter, the awfulness of the condition of the lost world and the blind that we, by God's grace and his choice made before the worlds were formed, have been rescued from. To be his workmanship. And as the prisoner of the Lord, Paul then stands in awe that he would be given such a privilege to take this wonderful message to others that didn't know it, to be cooperating with the hound of heaven, God's Spirit, in finding those in his day that had been chosen and proclaiming a message that we're building on as we take the same message to the world. And now in this fourth chapter, Paul himself, having testified and demonstrated his sense of awe that conditioned his behavior at being chosen as the messenger, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthily in a manner becoming of the outcalling wherewith ye are called. Now that doesn't mean cut your hair and cut the cuffs off your pants and whether to wear makeup or not wear makeup and long hair and all the traditional things that people who try to get human righteousness going do. This once again gets to attitude. It gets to the inner man. It precludes a judgmental attitude. Because only God can know why you're doing what you're doing. To the neighbor, the guy walking through the door with the flowers loves his wife. He may be trying to cover a transgression. It's an attitude that responds to God's call and the amazement, like a man acts when he wins the lottery. It does something to you. Well, this is greater than the lottery. To realize that you have been picked out of all mankind for God to do his work on. That should affect your manner of behavior. And it should affect your manner of behavior on the human side. But I can't be your judge. It has to flow from your heart. And you have to understand that your worthily behavior can't save you. But it reflects the heart that in faith will grab at God's word and connect to His Spirit that will save you. It gets kind of hard for the church world to distinguish between the things we do in response to God's call with human effort to show our gratitude to God and that which is the Spirit working in us that is His expression. And it's not all that complicated if you limit your judgments of spiritual behavior to the biblical definitions called fruit of the Spirit and the expressions of the Spirit. And don't confuse the kinds of things that Paul did when he said, I'll be with a Jew, I'll be as a Jew. With a Roman, I'll be as a Roman. I'll be in all things. If by so doing I might win one. That wasn't righteousness. That was walking in a manner worthily of his sense of his calling and his mission. Those kinds of behaviors you don't try to rub off and force somebody else to do, because that has nothing to do with righteousness. It's as varied as the different ways in which your children express love for the parents. Don't confuse worthily walking with righteousness.